know we just prayed, but I feel like I need to pray again. Father, this morning as we stand on the edge of eternity, I pray that you would allow us to look over the edge, that you would allow us to see a little bit of you, a little bit of the seriousness of life, a little bit of the seriousness of eternity. God, I pray that you would take this time, that you would use it. Father, would you please be here and speak? These are your words. These are your people. And I pray that you would feed them. Father, we give you this time. And I desperately need you this morning, Father. Open our eyes and give us understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you would turn with me to John chapter 3 this morning. I want to start by reading verses 1 through 21 here, and then we'll take our passage here. And I've been amazed as I look at John. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to go back, and the passage that grabbed my, that arrested my attention was verses 14 through 21. And the context here is Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him with questions. I think he had sincere questions, and Jesus was responding to him. And if we put ourselves there in that situation, what would we have thought as we listen to this? I just want us to think about that. And just the tremendous import of what is being said here. But today, as we sit here, I want us to stop and think. We've heard these things many times, but let's stop and think about what is being said here. And if the things that are being said here are true, and if it's truth and this is the way it really works, then what does that mean for our lives, for us today? In verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And it's a reference to Numbers 21 when the children of Israel complained against God, and God sent serpents and to kill them. But He told Moses to make a serpent, a brass serpent or a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and those who would look at that serpent would be healed. And that even the way that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, that's the way the Son of Man was lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we can just read over that and think, oh, that's nice. But when we stop and think about whosoever, that means that each one of us here, every person that we meet in life, if we believe, if that person believes in Him, and if we believe in Him, it doesn't mean that we just say that, yes, we believe that He was lifted up. But if we believe in Him, it means that we take the things that He said seriously. And it means that it becomes a part of the life that we live. And if we believe that He was lifted up, then that believing will change us. And it's that believing that gives us access. It's that faith that gives us access to the grace of God that changes our life. And it says that if we believe in Him, we shouldn't perish, but we should have eternal life. And in verse 16, he reiterates those two points again, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the eternal life is not a life that begins when we die, but it's a life that begins now. It's a life that we no longer live the way we had. We no longer live according to the thing that's right in front of us. We no longer make a decision as to what would be convenient right now. But what would God want? What, as we look into eternity, if we could see eternity, what decision would we make? As we look into eternity, what life would we live? And it is the power of God working. That eternal life is the power and the grace of God working in us. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God didn't just send Jesus Christ into the world so that we can see the lostness of our condition, that we can see and feel the guilt for the things we did wrong, but that the world through Him might be saved, that we no longer have to be that person, that we no longer have to pick up the alcohol from the shelf, that we no longer have to buy the tobacco, that we no longer have to get angry, that we no longer have to yell, and that when things are out of control in our lives, that we don't have to get upset. He sent His Son into the world that the world might be saved. That we no longer have to destroy ourselves. That we no longer have to be broken. And that things can work in a proper way. The power is there to look the other way. The power is there to do the right thing. Not that we now have to do the right thing, but it's that He gives us the power, the longing, and the the spirit inside of us that wants something different. In verse 18 it says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." If we believe on Him, there's not that condemnation there anymore. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The condemnation is, it is because of the things that that we do, but it's more than that. It's because God offered us something so wonderful. He offered us a way out. He offered us something better. And we said, no, we don't really want that. We prefer this. Because the things that our deeds are evil. We don't want to expose this. We don't want to bring these things to the light. And I want us to think about a passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 Peter 5:1, it says that some men's sins go on before them to judgment, and some men's sins come after them. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. God offered us this. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I don't know about you, but I want my sins to go before me to judgment. I don't want to be there in everything that I was hiding from you. I can sit here in this service and I can say amen, and I can sing the loudest. But the question is, am I willing to come up here and have the things of my life put on a screen for all of you to see? Because in judgment, everything that was hidden is going to come to the light. And everyone that you hid it from, and many more, will see it. And God, the thing that God offers us is that those things can go before to judgment. That we no longer have to live that way. And when we live that way, there's no condemnation anymore. Because God sent His Son into the world to save the world. He doesn't want that for us. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." When the things that come out of our life come from the life of God within us, there's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. We're okay to let those things be seen. Because those deeds are not coming from darkness anymore. It says in verse 21 that these deeds are wrought in God. They're coming out from a life inside of us, the life of God. So that leaves us with a question this morning. I know that I no way did justice to this passage of Scripture. We could go back and we could talk about the first two words in verse 16. "For God so loved the world." For God. God that created everything around us. He, a cosmos that's so immense and so vast that we can't even, the part of it that we see is like, it is so small that we can't even compare it to the rest of it. But He looked down and He so loved humanity. But it's not just that He so loved humanity, it's He so loved the world. And I think the word world there is not just the people, but the whole world. Everything that we see. And we as humans are the only ones that can make the choice to believe in Him and to have everlasting life. But when that happens, God in His wisdom knew that the whole world would be a better place. The whole world works better when when we live this way, when we believe in Him, when we have everlasting life. The God that created everything that we see and vast worlds that we can't see, He so loved. It's like if we take a microscope and we turn the power up as high as we can and we find the smallest living organism. He so loved that small thing. That's our life in perspective to the world. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that stirs me because in a world that's in turmoil and things are a mess, you see addictions, you see just darkness. God offers something better. And He's asking us, which way will we choose today? Will we choose to allow the Son of God to change our lives, that we could be His children, that we could be saved? Or will we choose to live in darkness and in the end be condemned? And not just be condemned in the end, but be condemned already. And today the question is left with us. Which way will we choose? God did His part. And now we stand here in this little moment of time. And the thing that we see and experience is the thing that's happening to us today. And the things that we are planning on for next week or next month. But that's all we can see. We may have things on the agenda for next year, and we think that that's incredible. But God sees from the moment that we're in to the end of our lives and beyond that. Do we want to align ourselves with that everlasting life and live in the light of that? Or do we want to live going from day to day, hiding the things that are dragging us down when God offers us something beautiful? The thing is, when that life of God is in a soul, the world may fall apart around us and everything may be going wrong. But if that life of God is in the soul, there's rest there. There's the grace to live at peace. And there's the grace to respond the way the Lord Jesus would have responded. It's much more than just everlasting life when we die. But it's everlasting life now. and the power of God to live the way that He wants us to live. That's all I have. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.